Okay, let's get started on our Bible study for this week. We're on the second part of The Sin Unto Death. Last week we had part one, this is part two, and it's Bible study number 11. Last week we talked about what one must be or experience to even qualify to commit the sin unto death. Okay? This week we're going to talk about what one must actually do to commit this sin, okay? And so open your Bibles to Mark chapter 3, and we'll go back and read our scripture that we read last week on about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherever soever they shall blaspheme shall be forgiven. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." And he said this because they said to him about Jesus, "He has an unclean spirit." So that's what brought the subject up. Okay? What Jesus is saying here, there is a sin called blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes Jesus is speaking in these Gospels, you know, not so much for the people's benefit there, but for our benefit today. Because he, the Holy Spirit, in other words, told Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, and the rest of the people in the New Testament what to write down, didn't they?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when Jesus is speaking, he's not only speaking to the people there, he's speaking for our benefit. Okay? And the Holy Ghost then brings these things back and puts them in the Bible for us. So they couldn't have possibly known all he was talking about here, because it's not amplified on until we have the Bible, and we go back to Hebrews and places like that and read more about it, okay? But we just want you to know right now that there is a sin called blaspheming the Holy Ghost that is a sin that won't be forgiven under certain conditions, okay? And we covered some of those conditions last week. Now, we're going to show what this sin really is tonight, so that when we leave tonight, you're going to not only have the information of how what one would have to be in terms of a Christian to qualify even to commit this sin, you're going to also know exactly what you'd have to do to commit this sin, okay? So we're right clear on how this is going to differ tonight. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6, where we were last week, and let's continue on. The difference being, tonight, we're going to actually cover what one would have to do. Now, last week, I think, Karen, you mentioned something about we started to get into this a little bit, and you said, would it be like a sin of murder? And that's a good question, actually. But no, the sin of murder can be forgiven. Actually, any sin, but this one sin called blaspheming the Holy Ghost, or the unpardonable sin, or the unforgivable sin, or the sin unto death, can be forgiven. Jesus' blood covered all those sins. But there's one sin that's not covered, and we'll talk about tonight why that is. So Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read what we read last week for a second here. The Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened," we talked about that last week, "who have tasted the heavenly gift," we talked about that, "were made partakers of the Holy Ghost," or filled with the Holy Ghost, "and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing as how they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Now let's just talk about that for a second. He says it's impossible for those that had those five things. In other words, first of all, if you've experienced those five things and you still commit this sin, then it's impossible for them to be forgiven. Now, we know what the five things are, what you have to do to qualify. But what does he say you'd have to do? If they shall what? Marianne, what does it say?
Fall away.
Fall away. Those two little words tell you what one has to do to commit this sin. One would have to fall away. In other words, it's different to fall away from your Christianity than it is to fall into sin. You understand what I'm saying? Falling into sin, such as even murder or, I don't care, rape, the worst sins you can imagine, can be forgiven. But the sin of being this a mature a Christian, to where he's born again, filled with the Spirit, taste of the good word of God, has been used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if he shall fall away, it shall be impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Why? Because they crucify to themselves the Son of God all over again and put him to an open shame. In other words, they've experienced Jesus, they've experienced the presence of the Holy Ghost in their life, and they still don't want him. That puts Jesus to an open shame. That's saying, I know what it's like to be a Christian. I know what it's like to be born again. I know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I know what it's like to experience the good word of God. I know what it's like to have been used in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and I still don't want you. Now, I've changed my mind. I don't want you in my life anymore. And they fall away. It shall be impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Does everybody understand what this sin is now? If they shall fall away. What?
Where it says they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, what they are, does that mean, to me it would seem to mean they are rejecting
right.
what Jesus did willfully for us. They're saying, no, I don't take that. I don't accept it.
But I reject it now.
Yeah.
I abandon Jesus as my Savior.
You abandon the ultimate gift he gave.
Right. And do you know why he can't forgive them again? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10:12, there's only one sacrifice for sins. And once you've used that one up, there isn't any more. That's what he means.
Better be careful what you're doing now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because that was what they mean by crucifying the Son of God afresh. You're saying, I need a new crucifixion. I've rejected the last one. And now I've changed my mind again. I'm coming back. Sorry. There is but one sacrifice for sins. You turn your back on that one, knowing, being a fully mature Christian, abandoning Jesus, and then later come back, you can't. Because you've rejected the only sacrifice for sins that exists. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:12, well, you can just keep your finger there and let's turn to it. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Marianne, read verse 12. Talking about Jesus.
10:12.
Yeah.
But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God.
The priest they're talking about is Jesus here, the our high priest, okay? But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice of sins forever, see what that it says? There's only one sacrifice for sins, and that lasts forever. That's all there is. But if you turn that one down, fall away from that one, then you crucify the Son of God afresh. You're saying, I want a new, if you come back. And Jesus said, there isn't any more. You see, it's not so much God saying we've committed this sin unto death. What the people are doing is going unto Jesus and said, we don't want you anymore. And Jesus says, okay. That's what falling away really is. It's not God falling away from us. It's the person falling away from God. If you go back and read that, it says, if they shall fall away, talking about someone who has experienced all these good things from God, if they shall fall away, it shall be impossible to renew them unto repentance. Seeing is how they crucify the Son of God all over again and put him to an open shame, and they know better. So, see, it's not, a lot of people have the idea that God is the one that decides, uh-oh, that person just committed the sin unto death. Let's just, you know, the person is deciding to abandon Jesus. That's the only way. And you can't even do that if you're a baby Christian. A baby Christian, or a person who hasn't experienced all those things, if they say, Jesus, I don't want you, and they're born again, I don't want you in my life anymore, get out of my life, I don't want you, I don't want the Holy Spirit, sorry, he's still going to be there. Because you don't know what you're doing. But if you ever get to the place where you fully understand and are fully cognizant of who you are in Christ and what he is to you, and you know what his sacrifice did for you, and you understand there's only one sacrifice for sins, and you say, I don't want it anymore, in that case, there is no more sacrifice for sins. And you've abandoned your one hope, and God lets you go. That's why he says in 1 John 5:16, don't even pray for these people. Because, why?
Because it won't do any good.
Exactly. It's not that God's saying, these people are so sinful that I can't even stand to look at them. I can't stand them anymore. And I'm so mad at them, I don't even want anybody to pray for them. That's not it at all. God is saying, don't pray for them because there's nothing your prayer can do at this point because of what they've done themselves. They have removed themselves from my help. They have said to me, I don't want you in my life anymore. Get out of my life. I don't want the Holy Spirit anymore. They understand what they're doing. And when they've done that, don't pray. Because God doesn't want you to waste your prayer. It's not going to do you any good to pray for them. Because you cannot pray against someone else's will. So that's why God says not to pray. A lot of people have the mistaken idea that God is saying, don't pray for them, sort of like God is so mad at them that he doesn't even want to hear a prayer for them anymore. I mean, that's not it at all. It's just that they have removed themselves from the effects of prayer. So why pray? Now, let me just read you what I wrote down here about this thing. Because as I really was getting into this, and I felt like maybe the Lord was speaking to me a little bit. Listen, all other sins except this one, our own spirit convicts us of. If you go back and read 1 John 3:20, it says, if our heart convicts us of sin. See, your heart convicts you when you sin. The Holy Ghost does not convict you of just daily sins. That's your own spirit. John chapter 16, verse 8 says, there's only one sin the Holy Ghost convicts of, and that's the sin of rejecting or abandoning Jesus. All right? And there's only two conditions under which that sin can be committed. Number one, for people that have never been saved, that have heard the gospel and reject being saved, they're lost, and the Holy Spirit will convict them of that sin. And number two would be in this rare case that we're just talking about now, the sin unto death, where a believer has decided to give up everything, their salvation, everything. In that case, they would be convicted of that sin of rejecting Jesus. And the Holy Spirit would convict them. And he would convict them of that sin. And that sin, for the unbeliever, can't be forgiven unless one turns to Jesus. Now, the unbeliever has a way out because they've never used up their salvation yet. They just haven't maybe heard all about it yet. Now, they can reject it and they'll go to hell, or they can accept Jesus. It's not too late for an unbeliever, obviously, to become a believer. But once a believer, if you go back to being an unbeliever, so to speak, and reject all you have, there is there no more sacrifice for sins. All right, now, when one knows the truth and then knowingly falls away by abandoning Jesus, he forces the Holy Spirit to leave his spirit. And when he does that, he's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. All right? This sin can never be forgiven. And once the Holy Spirit leaves, the Holy Spirit will never come back again.
He's spiritually dead, right?
And he will remain spiritually dead beyond all prayer. All other sins but can be forgiven. Murder, rape, anything, but not this sin. Why? Because as Madge said, this sin is a rejection of God's solution for sin. I mean, what can God do? If you reject his solution for sin, which is Jesus, knowing full well what you do, you've put yourself back in the case of the unbeliever, only worse. You knew what you did. He still got a chance. All right, now, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says a little bit more about this. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of the truth being those five things we discussed earlier, remember those things, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That's what we said before. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now listen to this. Of how much worse punishment, suppose you, shall be he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, now listen, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. In other words, to count the blood of the covenant whereby you've been sanctified. In other words, you've been saved. You know you were saved by the blood of Jesus. To all of a sudden change and count the blood an unholy thing, it says when you do this, now listen, you've done despite or insulted the Spirit of grace, which is the Holy Spirit. That is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost, then, would be to tread underfoot the Son of God, count the blood of the covenant where he was sanctified an unholy thing. And when you've done that, you've kicked the Holy Spirit out, and you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And there is no help for somebody that does that. Therefore, the thing one must do to commit this sin is to, first of all, be saved, knowing what you're doing, and then willfully fall away. Notice in this verse 26, it adds one more condition. We know about the falling away, but this says it must be done willfully. Now that's important, because that says under torture you couldn't do this. In other words, if you were being tortured by, say you were one of these people over in Iraq, and you were captured by these Muslims or something like that, and they held a gun to your head and said, unless you renounce Jesus as your Savior, we're going to shoot you in the head. Well, there are martyrs who have refused to do it and got shot in the head, and they have a special place with the Lord. But even if you were, didn't, even if you said, I renounce Jesus, and they said, okay, we won't kill you if you, now will you accept Allah as your, yes, I will. That wouldn't be enough. Why? Because it's not been done willfully. In your heart didn't change. Only your mouth changed because you didn't want to go through. You understand what I'm saying? So you couldn't even do it under torture because it wouldn't be willfully. You know, notice how the Word of God covers everything about some things?
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. So you'd have to willfully fall away. If you fell away unwillfully, it wouldn't count. If you didn't have all these other things in your life, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, tasted the good Word of God, using the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can't do it. You can't commit this sin. But if you have all those things, and you've been tortured, and you renounce Jesus, still doesn't count, because it wasn't willfully. You see, it has to be a willful thing of your own self. You have to know what you're doing. You have to do it willfully. And in those cases, God can't help you, because you've made the decision. If you decide to walk out through that door right now, say I decide to walk out on the porch and open that door right now, you think God is going to stop me? Is he going to send a lightning bolt down and knock me down?
No.
No, I can go out through that door. What God, the Bible saying, if someone really wants to do this, knowing full well what they're doing, and they do it willingly and willfully and fall away, then there's nothing I can do about it. Don't bother praying for them. That's a lot different than thinking the sin unto death is something that God just sort of looks at. He said, you know what? You've sinned too many times. Every time you say you're not going to do this again, you do it again. I'm tired of it. As far as I'm concerned, you committed the sin unto death, and I'm done with you.
You can't say that.
No. No.
Because he's already said that you give 70 times 70.
Right. But don't you know there are dear baby Christians all over this world that think they've done this? Have you ever heard someone say, I think I've committed the sin, unpardonable sin?
Yeah, and very remorseful.
Yeah. And they know more of committed this than nothing.
And that right there is enough that if they knew everything that they were supposed to know to commit that sin, they would know that
hadn't committed it.
There you are.
Right.
The whole answer right there. If you know everything you have, all those things that have to be in place to commit it, then you would know you couldn't have done it.
So you can help somebody like that now. If somebody said that to you, oh, shut up. You know, get their attention. You no more committed that than nothing. The only sin you're committing right now is getting on my nerves by saying something so stupid. Well, I mean, sometimes you just want to say it to myself. I think I've committed your part. Well, then, oh, you haven't. Shut up.
Sometimes you have to say it like that.
Yeah.
To get their attention.
Get their attention.
I'm telling you.
Don't be so silly. What kind of savior do you think you have, anyway? He knows you're just a baby. Now, shut up. Quit acting like a baby.
Okay.
I mean, God wouldn't talk to him that way, but sometimes it helps to get their attention. I mean, you know, it's really very difficult to commit this sin.
Go through all kinds of remorseful things, and they don't have.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody's told them. And here's what's wrong: they know there is such a sin, but nobody ever told them what it is. Isn't that stupid? I'd be like, no, we know there's such a thing as cars, but I don't know what it is. Don't know what one looks like, even. But I've heard tell there is such a thing. Well, I mean, you need, if you're going to know there is a sin unto death, you need to know what it is. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're prey for Satan. You're one of those. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he can devour. He goes up to some baby Christian and says, I think I'll torment them a little bit. They've kind of goofed up lately. They've tried this one sin. They've tried this one thing several times. They fall flat on their face, and they're feeling guilty towards God about it. I think it's about time to hit him with the old unpardonable sin trick. And sure enough, he's got them squalling and bawling about what they've done and everything. And the sad part of it is, I go to Christians, and the Christians don't know. Did you? Man. Oh, did you committed that sin, you think? Boy, I hope I never did. They hadn't. Neither one of them got the foggiest idea what it is, what it might be.
No, and that Christian they're talking to don't even bother to ask them what they've done.
Yeah. And
then they're
well, did you ever say, be careful when you minister to somebody, says that you don't get caught up in their sins? It says that one place in the Bible. Well, you can get in there and say, I wonder if I've committed it. Maybe I have too. Maybe we're both in bed. You know, first thing you know, you got a mess going on.
First thing you know, you got the devil laughing at you.
But the Bible says to restore one another. Now, you've got enough information, you people in this room here, to restore somebody that's in a position like this. It says to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. In other words, you go to them and say, honey, you know, you couldn't have possibly committed this sin. Let me show you exactly what you'd have to do. You get all done, and I say, whew, I guess I just committed plain old sin, didn't I? Yeah, and why don't you repent of it and get clear of it and go on with God now? Okay, I guess I will. It's not unpardonable after all. I mean, that sort of doesn't give Jesus' blood a whole lot of credit when he can't just cleanse it over that sin too. If we confess our sins, this is written to believers, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what was the unpardonable sin? Well, dummy, learn what the unpardonable sin is, and you'll know you haven't committed it, and get on with things. So, there we are. Okay, now, what two things do you have to do to commit this sin? You have to what? What's one thing?
You have to fall away.
Right, and it has to be done?
Willingly.
Willingly, that's it. Isn't that simple? Mm-hmm. Willingly fall away, and you have to knowingly do it, which means the five things. Born again, filled with the Spirit, taste of the good word of God, using the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you're in a position that you know enough to have done this, to do it. And then, even then, it has to be done willingly, fall away. Torture, sorry, that doesn't qualify. When a person comes to Jesus the first time, there's a sacrifice for sins that can cleanse him. If this person later willfully falls away from this salvation, there is no more sacrifice for sins, Hebrews 10:26. So it's impossible for him to be renewed unto repentance. Since it's impossible for him to be saved again, we are not even to pray for that person. In other words, they can't be born again again. Born again simply means you've already been born again. I mean, you know, you can't be born again again. No other sin than the sin of abandoning Jesus, which is willfully falling away, will blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Not murder, not rape, not kidnapping, nothing but this. Every other sin can be forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus when a person repents. But when one casts aside and rejects the one cleansing agent for sins that's available, in other words, he counts the blood of Jesus an unholy thing, there then remains no more sacrifice for sins, and this person would be lost. Is everybody clear on what the sin unto death is? I didn't want to have a whole lot tonight because I wanted it to be clear. I didn't want it to cover too much. I wanted to have your attention the full time. So if anyone ever comes up to you and says, I think I've committed the sin unto death, the unpardonable sin of that, you can say, well, have you been born again? Yes, I have. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I don't know. Well, you don't qualify that. Have you been filled? Yes, I have. Do you know what has you experienced God speak to you through his word? Have you tasted the strong meat of God's word? I don't know what strong meat is. Well, you don't qualify. Have you been using the gifts of the Holy Ghost? What's the gifts of the Holy Ghost? You don't qualify. Man, I've done all that. I know. I'm a mature Christian. Well, are you rejecting your salvation? No, I need it now more than ever. I think I've committed this sin. Well, you'd have to reject your whole salvation to commit this sin. So get out of here.
Go away.
Go away. Father, quit acting like a baby. You just told me you're a mature Christian. Now quit acting like a baby and go on with your life. Just tell God you're sorry for
it. Oh, I'm so glad we had this lesson.
Well, I am too, because it lays to rest a lot of things. And I told you it was going to be good news and not bad news. So,
yeah.
Hey, Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that when we follow your word, things become crystal clear, Father. We thank you, Father, that the word of God has been sent, Father, so that we will know what your will is, Father. Father, your word says that when we know what your word says, Father, we won't be destroyed. We won't be destroyed for lack of knowledge, Father. We don't want to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't want to be fodder for the enemy through a lack of knowledge. We want to be Christians that know what the word of God says. And we know, Father, what our rights and privileges are. And we know what the sin unto death is, Father. Not that we're going to commit this sin, Father, that we know and we can help restore others as babies that think maybe they've committed this sin, Father. So, Father, thank you so much for the clarity in your word that sets out very clearly what this sin is, Father. Thank you for teaching us tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, let's go over our homework for Lesson 11, which is our final lesson on the sin unto death. Now, just by a little way of review, in the first lesson on the sin unto death, we covered what one must be or experience to even qualify to committing this sin. And then in this last lesson, the one we're going to do the homework on right now, Sin unto Death Part 2, we discussed what one must actually do to commit the sin unto death. And so, with that said, let's go into our homework then. Homework for Lesson 11. This would complete then this series on the sin unto death. First question. To commit the sin unto death, one must blank something, and blank something. Now, what's the answer there? What goes in the blanks? Okay, from our outline, you could look and see that to commit the sin unto death, one must be something, one must experience something, and one must then do something. As I said before, what one must be and what one must experience were covered in the first lesson, Lesson 10, and what one must do was covered in the teaching on the Lesson 11. All right, next question. Give four names people have given for the sin we're studying right now. What would they be? All right. What would be the first one? Well, the title of the lesson gives you the first one. The sin unto death is one name people call it, because that's what it's called in 1 John 5:16 by the Word of God. It says when someone has committed the sin unto death, they're not even to pray for that person. Okay, but the other names... men have given it. One is called the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, which was basically taken from Mark chapter 3 is one place where it's talking about the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. So people have called it the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And there's two more that people have kind of tagged with names for this sin. One is the unpardonable sin, and the other one is the unforgivable sin. So the four names people have kind of given for this same sin is the sin unto death, the unpardonable sin, the unforgivable sin, and the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. They're all one sin. It's all the same thing, okay? Next question. There are blank things one must be or experience before one could commit this sin knowingly. What are they? How many are there? Well, we learned in lesson number 10, there are five things one must be or experience before one could possibly commit this sin. All right, what are they? Number one, be blank, which means to know that salvation is available. What is it? What does the Word of God tell us in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 5? To be enlightened. You have to be enlightened. That is, to know that salvation is available. All right? We covered that in Lesson 10, and I'm just kind of summarizing them here. Okay, that's the first thing. You'd have to be to qualify, to commit, even qualify to commit this sin, you'd have to be enlightened. Number two, you'd have to have tasted or experienced the blank blank. What do you have to taste or experience? King James uses the word taste. That means to experience. You'd have to experience the what? Heavenly gift. That's what the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Who is this, or what is this heavenly gift? The heavenly gift is Jesus, as we discussed in our lesson. For God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he give? What did he give? His only begotten Son, which is Jesus. So Jesus is a heavenly gift. That means you'd have to be born again. If you taste or experience the heavenly gift, that means the same as being born again. So number one, you'd have to be enlightened, know that salvation is available. Number two, be saved or have accepted Jesus, the heavenly gift. Number three, what's the third thing in Hebrews chapter 6? You would have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The King James Version says, and I'll read it here, I'll get to it. Hebrews chapter 6, be partakers of the Holy Ghost. That means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's the third thing that you'd have to have to be or experience to even qualify for committing this sin. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, what we're doing here is we're moving up in levels of maturity. God is saying, really, through this, that you'd have to be a mature Christian to even qualify for committing this sin. What's the fourth one? You'd have to have tasted or experienced the blank, blank of blank. What would that be? You'd have to have tasted or experienced, as the King James version says, the good word of God. Or you could say the strong meat of God's word. Either one would be correct. That means you got to know what you're doing. You've got to be a mature Christian who has experienced the strong meat of God's word. You can't just be a baby Christian. And there's a fifth thing still that you'd have to experience to qualify for committing this sin. And the word of God says, have experienced the blank of the blank to come, which are the blank of the blank blank. What goes in there? You have to have experienced the word tells us, powers, the King James says, of the world to come, which are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'd have to actually been used in ministering these gifts or be a recipient of these gifts to even qualify for committing this sin. So there's five things one must be or experience before one could commit this sin knowingly. I'll just go over them one more time because these are really important. You'd have to know the salvation's available. Then you would have to have accepted that salvation, the heavenly gift, which is Jesus. Then you'd have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then you've had to experience the strong meat of God's Word. Know what the Word of God tells you, not just be a baby Christian. And number five, you've had to experience the powers of the world to come, which are the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In other words, if you haven't experienced all five of those things in your life, you wouldn't even qualify for committing this sin. You'd have to actually reach this level of maturity to be eligible for committing this sin. Why am I stressing this so much? Because there are people who, baby Christians especially, are people that don't know what the Word of God says about this, that sometimes they get under condemnation and they feel they've disappointed God so badly through repetitive sins, maybe of a certain nature, that they think, well, I may have committed the unpardonable sin. And they haven't. Because they don't even qualify, because they haven't even fulfilled these five criteria of maturity. So I just wanted to amplify that. Next question. The thing a believer would have to do in order to commit the sin unto death would be to blank, blank from his faith, which means to abandon Jesus as his Savior. What does the Word of God tell us? Hebrews 6:6. The thing a believer would have to do in order to commit the sin unto death would be to fall away from his faith. That's what you'd have to do. Up to now, the five things we've covered were what you'd have to be or experience to even qualify. Let's say you've experienced all five of those things in your life. You are a mature believer. The next thing you'd have to do to qualify for this sin is to actually fall away from your faith. That is to give up Jesus as your Savior, to reject or abandon him as your Savior. That's what the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 6:6. It says, if they have experienced all of these five things, and then if they shall fall away, it shall be impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing as how they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. If these people should fall away, in other words, reject or abandon Jesus as their Savior. All right, next question. for this sin to qualify as the sin unto death, it would have to be committed blank and blank. All right, let's say if this Christian is falling away. He'd have to do it, what? It'd have to be committed knowingly and willfully. The knowingly would be in the five things we just discussed. He'd have to be enlightened, tasted the holy, experienced the heavenly gift, filled with the Holy Ghost, tasted the strong meat of God's word, have experienced the powers of the world to come, which are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That would be knowingly. Not only would he have to have all those five criteria, he'd also have to do it willfully. In other words, it wouldn't qualify if he committed this sin, fell away under torture or to prevent harm coming to him. Has to be done willfully. That comes from Hebrews chapter 10, where we found out in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, he'd have to commit this sin willfully. Next question. Even a mature believer could not commit this sin if he abandoned Jesus in a moment of anger. True or false? Let's say he's fulfilled these five criteria. Could a mature believer that fulfills these five criteria abandon Jesus in a moment of anger? No. That wouldn't qualify either. It has to be a rational, long-term decision. I don't want Jesus in my life anymore. I reject him as my Savior. Nothing done in a moment of anger is going to qualify. All right? So this is a very, very rare sin, is what I guess I'm trying to amplify here. It couldn't be done just in a moment of anger. So that would be true. Knowingly would include making his decision, that is to abandon Jesus, fall away, over a long period of time, so it's not just a rash act. True or false? That's true. It would include making his decision over a long time period, so it's not just a rash act he commits in a moment. Okay, so that's true. Next question, true or false? A believer who willfully falls away from Jesus cannot be forgiven because he has turned his back on the one solution God has provided for his sin. That's true. That's exactly why God says not to pray for them. They've willfully fallen away from Jesus. How can they be forgiven if they've turned their back on God's one solution for sin? You can't. I mean, if you reject God's solution for sin, how can the sin be forgiven? So it's self-evident, really. True or false? It's not that God won't forgive the person, it's that he can't forgive him because of the choice the person has made. True or false? That's exactly true. It's not that God won't forgive, it's he can't forgive the person. How can he forgive someone who's turned down God's solution for sin? There's no more sacrifice for sin, the Bible tells us, once that's happened. So you can't be born again, in other words. If a believer knowingly abandons Jesus, it shall be impossible to renew them again unto what? What does the Bible tell us? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6, it says that if a believer knowingly commits this sin of abandoning Jesus or falling away, it shall be impossible to renew them again unto repentance, because they've turned down the solution for sin. Since it's impossible to help them, God says we are not to blank for them. What is it? Since it's impossible to help them, God says we're not to pray for them. Is it God that's mad at them and he's saying, I'm so disgusted with this person, I don't even want anybody to pray for them? No, that's not it at all. It's God saying, don't waste your prayer. It's impossible if they've made this choice for your prayer to help, so don't even pray. That's why he said, don't pray, don't waste your prayer, don't waste your time. They've made this decision. There's nothing you can do about it. Once that decision has been made, there's no going back. Okay. Next question. Because there is only one blank for sins, you can't be born again blank. What goes in there? Well, from our lesson last time, you could fill in the blank this way. Because there's only one sacrifice for sin, Hebrews 10:12 tells us, you can't be born again, what? again. In other words, when you're born again, your spirit's recreated and you become a child of God. If you reject, then later reject that, there is no more sacrifice for sins, and you cannot then be born again. Okay, so that's the answer to that question. Next question. If a believer abandons Jesus knowingly and willfully, there remains blank more sacrifice for sins. What goes in there? If a believer abandons Jesus knowingly and willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 10:12 tells us that. So they rejected the only one that there is. So there's only one sacrifice for sins forever, the Bible tells us. This is because he has trodden underfoot the blank of blank and counted the blank of the covenant and blank thing. Well, if you just go right to the King James Version, you can go to Hebrews chapter 10, which is in our lesson, and look at verse 29, and it says, just fill in the blanks. This is because the reason he can't be forgiven of this sin once it's committed, under the rare conditions that in which it could be committed, it's because he's trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. And when you do this, it says that you insult or do despite, that King James says. It means to insult the Spirit of grace, which would be, well, that's the next question. Let's just answer it then. When a believer does this, he does blank under the Spirit of grace, which is the same as blank, the Holy Spirit. When a believer does this, he does, the King James Version says, despite unto the Spirit of grace, or it means he insults the Spirit of grace, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the same as blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is that unpardonable, unforgivable sin unto death. So, one last question. Name a sin besides the one studied here. In other words, when I say that, I mean besides the sin unto death, blaspheming the Holy Ghost, the unpardonable sin, or the unforgivable sin. Name a sin besides these, which are all the same thing, besides the one we studied, a believer could commit that would be unforgivable. Name another sin that would be unforgivable. Well, that's kind of a trick question because there isn't any. Every other sin can be forgiven. All we have to do is come before the Heavenly Father and say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me, please. And he does, because the Word of God says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there is no other sin that you could commit, or anybody could commit, a believer could commit, that would be unforgivable. Just the one. And that sin isn't that God convicts him of it. It's that, well, the Holy Spirit will convict him of that sin, but it's a choice that the believer makes. It's not something God arbitrarily decides you've committed this sin so many times that it's unforgivable now. No, that's not it at all. It's the believer that says, in these rare cases where he qualifies to even commit this sin, he falls away willfully and knowingly and says, I don't want Jesus anymore in my life. At that point, if he would do that in these rare cases, the Holy Spirit would actually leave, would not inhabit his spirit anymore, and he would never come back, and that person would be lost. But thank God that this is a very, very, very rare case where someone would have the maturity to do this. And then knowing, having that maturity, you know what you have. You understand the value of this wonderful sacrifice, and would be very, very unlikely to cast it aside. But if one would do it, then he would be beyond help. And so this completes our lesson on the sin unto death. I hope this has helped some of you to understand how very rare and how very hard it is to commit this sin, and what the Bible means when it talks about this. So that completes then our homework on this lesson.